today I'm going to talk about God being ahead of us, okay? I don't know what your thought on this, what your thoughts on this are. I don't know whether you've even thought about God being ahead of us. I don't know where you position God in your time. And I'm going to, what I want to say from the start is that God is, we are bound by linear time, okay? We've lost half an hour listening to me play relatively half a beat at a time for the entire service. More than half. And we've lost that time, and unfortunately, I'm ever so sorry if I ruined that last half an hour for anybody. You could get them back. You could get that half an hour back. So we're in linear time. So from now on, we always move forward. Okay? And we're stuck and constrained by our linear time. We can't make tomorrow come quicker. We can't make the bank holiday weekend come any faster. We are stuck in the linear time that God set. But God is not constrained, I don't believe, to linear time. God is both past, present, and future. He's able to be in the future, he's able to be in the present, and he was in the past. And he can work in all these areas, right? And I've got a couple of peculiar scriptures that I'm going to share with you to try and prove how God is ahead of us, okay? God is always ahead of every generation, of every moment, and he's always calling us forward. Now, we're going to look at the scripture, we're going to look at the passages, I'm going to explain them. Don't shoot me when I go with it, because I'm going to say these passages and you're going to go, you are mad in the head, Andy. So, let's go. I am mad in the head. Right, go to Exodus 21, verse 24. Turn to it if you got it. If you've not got it, write it down. Turn to it later. We're going to read the lot. Why not? This is what's said in Exodus. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Okay? Hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Burn for a burn, wound for a wound, bruise for a bruise. Now, I'll stop there. I think there has been misconception. If I said to you, what's your understanding on eye for an eye? Or if someone says to you, what does eye for an eye mean? The first thing that we come, man has twisted this. Maybe you haven't, but I believe that a lot of men and women have twisted this to be a revenge idea. You hit me, I hit you. You stab me, I stab you. And man has twisted what God intended here, and man has twisted this for an opportunity to be able to say, eye for an eye, guys. You've done this to me, so I'm going to do it to you. You've hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. And that's what, I think, does everyone agree? Is that what your initial perception might be? And that's fine, because initially that was my perception. Let's keep reading on. Don't forget, this is God's instruction. This is man's instruction. God has said eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And if that... God is not a revenge God, is it? He doesn't just stab someone for the sake of stabbing somebody. The rest of it goes, wound for a wound, bruise for a bruise. An owner who hits a male or female slave in the eye and destroys it must let the slave go free to compensate for the eye. And an owner who knocks out the tooth of a male or female slave must let the slave go free to compensate for the tooth. Eye for an eye, tooth for the tooth weren't revenge, it was compensation. All the way back in Exodus, God was calling people to compensation understanding. We now live in a compensation culture where we've taken the biscuit, really. And we go, I've got a little bruise, I now want a mansion. God was here, was not saying to people, revenge. God was saying to people, if you hurt someone, you need to make sure that you right that wrong. The idea of this scripture was for you, if I've hurt you, the onus is on me now. I have to do something to make it right. Not you to hurt me. So God here is calling people forwards from a place of revenge to a place of reconciliation. God was ahead of the time. At this point, God was far beyond their thinking. They were stuck in a place and God was ahead of them, pulling them forward. Okay. However, when a lot of us read these scriptures, we think the Old Testament is so old and archaic and has no place in our society because it says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This God has no place in our society because this God is telling us to take revenge. And we make a real big misunderstanding. But God here is not saying, he's not... telling people, We're not stuck here. We have to look at this scripture and see how God is far ahead of his time, far ahead and pulling the people forward here, not dragging them backwards. Okay, let's have a look at another scripture. Can I just say as well, Matthew 5 verse 38 is when Jesus says, "Eye for an eye, you might have heard eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, turn the other cheek." And I think sometimes what we do is that we see here that because Jesus says this, he's writing a poorly put together bit of scripture by God, but he's not. He's taking them an extra step forward. God said, if you do something wrong, you need to make it right. Jesus said, don't just make it right, make it even better. Okay? Don't think that that scripture contradicts the Old Testament. It doesn't. It's the next level. Okay. Wonderful. Deuteronomy 21. When you go to war against your enemies and the Lord your God delivers them into your hands and you take captives, if you notice among the captives a beautiful woman and you're attracted to her, you may take her as your wife. Bring her into your home and have her head shave her head. Trim her nails and put aside the clothes she was wearing when captured. After she has lived in your house and mourned her father and mother for a full month, then you may go to her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. If you're not pleased with her, let her go wherever she wishes. You must not sell her or treat her as a slave, since you have dishonored her. Interesting. That's what I thought you might say, Gaz. Interesting bit of scripture. Right, so George, God is saying at this point in time, if someone goes to war against your dad and kills him, no, let's say you're married to Rupert, okay? If anyone needs to know about our Rupert, just ask Georgia. So, Georgia, you're married to Rupert now. You're a bit older. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you never. We'll see. Someone goes to war and kills Rupert, okay? And he comes and he goes, "Georgia, I've killed Rupert. I'm taking everything you've got and I'm taking you with me. Come on." And you go, "I don't want to go." But it's tough. God says you're going, okay? Gets to your head, you've got to shave your head, cut your nails off, put aside the clothes that you was wearing when he captured you. And you're allowed to cry over your Rupert for a month. And after then, if he wants you to, you've got to be his wife. And if he's not pleased with you, he'll get rid of you. Okay? What an amazing God, eh? What a brilliant God. Let's give God a big shout for that one. Okay? Are we looking at this and we're reading this going, "Andy, I've not heard this scripture. I'm thinking I don't want to be a Christian anymore because what... this can't be the God that I know, because God's meant to love us and care for us, and here he's telling them men to take women and shave their heads." What is going on here? So, in this scripture, what it basically is going on is that at that time, we have to take everything at that time. When you went to war with another man, whoever you killed, you was able to take his possessions, his wife, as your own property, okay? Your own property. What this meant was that at the time, women were being taken legally as rights from the spoils of war, and you would be a person's property as a woman. That would mean he could do with you whatever he so wished, and you would not be protected by the law. You'd have no place in society, and women were being abused left, right, and centre in this day and age. Because you imagine all the wars that were going on, and every woman, every man that was killed, a woman was taken from their home, taken as a slave, treated as a slave, and abused. And God was at this situation, and this is what God says, do this. Why does he say do this? We can't look at this point, we have to look back then, and see how God was ahead of his time again. Because what God was doing, by taking him into a home, he was giving her a position in their household. That meant she had rights. By making her his wife, it meant that she had a place in society. Okay? By allowing her to shave her head and trim her nails, he was allowing her to mourn the loss. She was given 4 weeks to be able to mourn the loss of the husband, of the father, of whoever had been killed. Okay? She was being allowed in her culture to mourn. And then she would be taken as wife. Because in that day, if she wasn't taken as a wife, she'd been kicked on the streets and she'd probably starved to death. Because she had no family left. And it would have been up to her family to support her. So she's made a part of the family. She's allowed to moan. God says you cannot dishonor her. God is saying that if you're not pleased with all of this, guys, you've been allowed to take a woman here, which is bad enough as it is. The least you could do is let her mourn. The least you could do is treat her as your wife. And what you mustn't do is not treat her well. And if you're not happy with that, then let her leave and go wherever she pleases and give her all the rights in society. Wow, what an amazing God at that time. And I think initially we read that scripture and go, that is horrendous. But we look at the time and we think, wow, how revolutionary. Giving a woman rights? She's a spoil of war. She's property. But look, how God was saying, no, we move forward. I know what the old was. I know what the past was. But we don't do this anymore. We move forward. We treat people better. And so these, to me, show me how much ahead God is all the time of each society. Now, if we could imagine that, we'll call it steps. Okay, we're going to call them steps. So people in Exodus and Deuteronomy was at step one. God called them to step two. Okay, they had to move forward. God was always calling them forward. Right? They couldn't go back. They're always going forward because we're stuck in linear time. Now, in Matthew, Jesus calls them forward again. He goes from step one to step two, and now we're ready for step three. And now we live in the society that we live in now. And I don't know, I couldn't count the amount of steps that we've taken since then. But look at our society now. Look at our world now. I know we think it's terrible and it's horrendous and that, but in perspective, worldwide it is seen that it is not right to keep people as slaves. Worldwide, it is not seen as right to abuse women. Does it still go on? Yes. And are there still being things to do about it? Yes. And are we still taking steps forward? Yes. Why? Because it is God that calls us forward. It is God that is ahead of us that's still trying to improve our society, improve our world, and take us forward now. Now, it is so important that we recognize that God is ahead of us. Why is it important that we recognize that God's ahead of us? Because we have a duty to our next generation. We have our duty to the next step to make sure that we don't stick in the past and we move forward. Why? Because that is where God is. God is pulling us forward. Now, I understand that. You know, at Rock Nations, they played a clip at the start and it was Billy Graham preaching. And how powerful was it? It was incredible. And I listened to him and thought, if I could have been around to listen to those, it would have been incredible, because it was just a phenomenal bit of speech. And you just go, wow, what a time. Packing out football stadiums, what a time. And yeah, what a time. But we've moved forward from that time, and we might sound a bit different, but we have definitely moved forward, and we have to continue to move forward. Now, if we don't move forward and we get stuck in the past, unfortunately, I think what happens is that other people will move forward and other people will take the next steps and we get stuck. And you know what? Maybe it's not a bad thing to be stuck listening to Billy Graham. But Billy Graham's not God. The old churches weren't God. God moved forward, but I fear people will not. Because they like the past. The Catholic Church, I'm just going to say it now, we don't have a problem with the Catholic Church. We all have our own opinions. But I'm going to say that at the time, Christians were being persecuted like mad back in Rome. And the Catholic Church came in and stopped all of that. Okay? Now, some of us might say the Catholic Church took a few wrong turns along the way. If people knew the history, and if you don't know the history, forgive me if you think I'm a bit wrong in what I'm saying, but I've read into these things, and in my personal opinion, and I think in a worldwide opinion, they can see where maybe wrong turns were taken or focus got lost. And there are churches and there are people that unfortunately are stuck back then in a time where God was at that moment, and God's called us all forward to a new moment. God is always, always ahead of us. Now, the reason why this is important to grasp for your own life is because God says, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. God has to be ahead of us because he is lighting our path. God says he knows the plans that I have for you. So if God is if God is able to understand the future, then we have to be more confident to be able to put our trust in him. Because one thing that you cannot do is know the future. You may be able to prophesy, but you cannot know the future. You might be able to prophesy and have a good idea and have a vision, but that doesn't mean that's the future. God knows the future. God knows what's ahead. So if God knows what's ahead, I tell you what, if there was a person that sat next to you that could tell the future, good or bad, would you want to know them? Some of us might not, but I think a lot of people, if they were asked across the world, if they had the ability to be able to know the future, would they want to know? Why would they want to know? They would want to know because they feel if they know the future, then they can make good decisions. They can feel that if they know something might go wrong, they can make a better decision to write it. Now, if I tell you that God is aware of the future, I'm not saying that God controls the future, but I'm telling you that God is aware of the future, why would you not want to align yourself with him? Because what the Bible says, trust the Lord your God with all your heart. Why? Because God is aware of everything that is to come for your life. God is aware of all these things, and he wants to prepare you. He wants to develop you. He wants to take you forward. And if you can put your trust in God, that means that going forward, he is aware of everything you're to come up against. So sometimes you look back and you go, oh, I see how God delivered me. God was able to deliver you because God was aware of what was going to happen. And if you was able to listen to him and do what and be obedient to him, he will prepare you for the greater future. But God is always, always ahead of us. He's always watching us. He's always with us. He's in us with the present. One thing to make sure that the Bible, God does walk with us. It doesn't make sense. And the Bible says it doesn't necessarily make sense. But we have to remember that God is able to be with us now and he's able to be in the future. And he was a part of the past. This Bible is the only book in the world that is not bound by time. Realistically, we throw this about and we put it on our phone, but this here is not bound by time. This is able to be relevant in the past. It gives us the past, which teaches us in the present, which gives us hope for the future. I do not know anything else which will last and has been around and will be around and is a part, directing us, guiding us, and showing us right from wrong now, showing us how to go forward in the future and showing us where we've come from in the past. This book is not bound by time. It's not bound by time because it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is not bound by time. God is always ahead. We need to make it to the next step. God is calling us forward all the time. Sometimes we don't necessarily like, I don't think, what we're looking towards. We don't necessarily think, some people say, like, if God's next step for the world was for people to not have buildings in churches. I'm not saying that is at all. I'm just using it as an example. If God's next step was to say, right, guys, this is the way we're going to work. We've got to get into the fields. The next step for this generation is we've got to get into the field and we've got to work in the field. And that could happen. And we could come back into a church another time. But God's next move might be to go and get into the fields. And you go, but I don't want to go in the field because it rains there and I don't want to get wet. And I'm aware of this. But what's the alternative? What's the alternative? Stay in the past? You know, at Rock Nations, it was the first time that I began to probably empathise with the people that was at the church when we were, say, 13 or 14, and we was really into our music, and we were really passionate about the type of music that we was passionate about, and we wanted to play it, and we just loved it. And the first time at Rock Nations, the first couple of nights was quite hard rock kind of music. It was like rattling my brains to pieces. It was the first time I began to feel like I could empathise with older people that don't quite get the music of younger people. And I stood there going, I don't know how they get into this because I can't even sing the words. The 46-year-old man that I am. And then the middle of the road worship came on. Oh, and it was brilliant. It was great. Middle of the road worship for me. That was wonderful. And but God is doing something for them in that moment. God is calling them forward. And we don't necessarily like the new stuff, but we can't deny that God's not in it. We can't deny that. See, for us at that time, I think it was really important because with that music, what it did, it burned something in our heart, and we're still as passionate about music today than what we've ever been. Maybe more passionate. And our tastes have changed and our flavours have changed individually. You know, I've gone from liking DC Talk and really kind of hard rock stuff to preferring folk music and listening to the cricket on Five Live. You know, that's what I like now. And that's cool. That's my next step. That's what I like. So that's my next step. You know, and I can't stay 13 jumping off bass amps playing distortion bass solos. I can't. It's the knees and the worship shoulder. You know, this is the next step. Before, Marcus has played bass today. And for me, Gaz spoke to me yesterday. He was talking about what we fancy doing for the worship. And he said, do you think Marcus would be okay to play the whole service? And I said, yeah, as long as there's nothing particularly difficult to have to work along. And Gaz said, well, you know, would you want to play bass? We could do it a little bit differently. And I said to Gaz, whatever you prefer, because I have no issue sticking on kit. Let Marcus do it. See, Marcus for me is the next step. There's no point in me going, you know what, guys? Yeah, let's get back in the past. Let's let me jump on bass every week because I love playing bass. I used to love it. That was me. That was my step. That was that time. And I could have been stuck there, and I could have been stuck there forever if I wanted to be. Why? Because I really enjoyed it. But then I moved on to kit, and I moved on to other things. And at the time, I really didn't enjoy it. I really didn't enjoy it, and I had a lot of issues with it. And that's been more than resolved. You know, but I've been playing kit for what, 6 years? When we got together 7 years ago, was I playing bass? I was moving off bass, though. 6 years I've been on drums? 6 years. 6 years. And do I love it? Yeah, I love it. Why? Because now I'm at a place where I realise that this is all about worship, and I love worship, and to be able to express that on drums is great, but the problem is that I could have been stuck on bass moaning. Loving the past. Going, no, guys, we're playing DC Talk this week. You know, we have to move forward. And at times it's a little bit painful because it moves us from what we really love. What we really love. We learn to really love things. And then we get called to move forward and we go, I don't know if I really like this. But we've got to move forward. We have to move forward. Why? Because God is always ahead of us, moving us to the next step. And that, you know, we think of things like Facebook and Twitter and all these crazy social media and technology and go, God, a lot of people go, God, this is terrible technology. And, you know, God is far ahead of Facebook, guys. God is far ahead of Facebook. He's far ahead of Twitter and he's far ahead of iPads. God is far ahead of all this media. Therefore, and I heard one person, I think it was Israel Houghton, say, if the apostles at the time had the social media and the transport system that we had, they would have been over the moon. Why? Because for them it would have been opportunity, 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 travel, get the message of God out. But we don't have to get stuck going, you know what, I don't like traveling, or I don't like social media, don't like computers, I can't see how God can be about in all this media. I can't believe for a second that the Apostle Paul, if he had an iPad and it meant that he could send a message to every single person in the world instantaneously, I couldn't imagine he'd be jumping for joy over it. We don't need to get stuck thinking that all of this stuff is a load of rubbish because we used to need to use it. We used to be able to get out there on the street and give a tract out, and now people just send a Twitter. We don't have to get stuck in the past. The past was great, guys. We all had great times at times. We all had our moments. I loved playing bass when I was 14. I'm now 23 and I love playing drums. But it's not about the drums for me now. It's about the worship. You know, I was thinking just as a worship, and I'm going to close with this. Let me just wrap up my sermon. Then I just want to say a couple of things. My sermon for you is God is with you. God is ahead of you. And God has been with you. Align yourself with God and trust God, because he knows what is to come and he'll develop you for it. Okay? God, nothing takes God by surprise. All the bad situations that you think, how on earth has this happened, God has been aware of for a long time. He is not the cause of it. He's not the cause of it, but he is aware that it will happen. And he's working, trying his best to shout and to call you to say, this is going to happen. Prepare yourself. This is going to happen. Prepare yourself. No, I'm quite happy. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. Okay, God is ahead of you. Trust him. Please trust him. Please, please align yourself with him and recognize that he is going to be with you and he's shaping you for your future. And he's calling you to the next step. So we always have to look to move forward. We've always got to be on our toes. We've always got to appreciate the time and appreciate the moment and then look forward to what God is. God says greater things have yet to come. If greater things are yet to come, God has got to be aware of all of that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to say it. Greater things are yet to come. Storms are also yet to come. But greater things are also yet to come. Align yourself with God. God is ahead of us. He's cleverer than us. And he's not bound by our time. And when you read the Old Testament, please, please, please recognize the time in which it was written. And see how God, even in those old times, although it might sound brutal at times, was calling those people forward in the same way that he's calling us forward. We always feel like we're in the age of enlightenment. We watch The Mill, right, on the TV. I don't know if anybody else watches The Mill, the documentary. And those at that time felt that they were in the age of enlightenment. And we look back and go, wow, can you believe the way they treated each other? Can you believe the things that they did? But at the time, they were in what they felt was the age of enlightenment. We are now in the age of what we deem is enlightenment. And let's see, let's fast forward the clock 100 years. I wonder if they'll look back on us and go, wow, can you believe how they treated each other? Can you believe the way that they lived? It's incredible. How did they manage to get round in one car each? Okay, that's all really important. And that's the end of my message for you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message.